The gospel lesson is from Mark 5, verses 21 through 42. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered round him, and he was by the lake. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he entered, he said to them, "Why do you make such a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumai," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Thou who art over us, thou who art one of us, thou who simply art, give each of us a pure heart that we may see thee, a humble heart that we may hear thee, a heart of love that we may serve thee, and most of all, a heart of faith, that we may always abide in thee. This is our hope. This is our prayer this morning. Amen. Now, over the course of my ministry, I've been asked numerous times to visit or to pray for persons who are sick or who are dying. To be with folks during these difficult times is an incredibly humbling experience. Most of the time, they get better. And even a few, there is probably no way else to say this, are miraculously healed. Others, however, get worse and some eventually die. One wonders whether or not there is some pattern or process to go through that will guarantee a healing or a positive outcome in every case and every situation. If there is one, I must admit that I have not found it yet. On the other hand, I could say with all sincerity that faith helps. What I witness in faith is not the absolute confidence that God will make things better, but rather that God is always with us in every situation of life. I have experienced that throughout my life, and it is the foundation of my faith. It is what gets me through even on the most difficult days. Our story this morning involves two healing stories that are linked together in a very unusual way. Jesus is requested by Jairus, a local leader of the Jewish synagogue, to come and to heal his dying daughter. They leave and they are followed by a huge crowd, and on the way, a woman who has been sick for 12 years reaches out and touches Jesus and is healed because of her faith. Jesus continues to Jairus' home, but now his daughter is already presumed dead. Jesus said she is only sleeping and tells her to rise, and she too is cured of her illness. The story is puzzling, since one healing story is interrupted by another. They don't seem to be at all connected. Jairus is a wealthy person and a person of stature in the community, and the unnamed woman, on the other hand, is an outcast who is powerless. The link between the two, even the good news for us, is that in both cases, there is a healing. Both were recognized for who they were, God's children, worthy of God's love, worthy of God's healing and redeeming touch. So how do we find healing for those who are sick in our lives? What's the formula? Is it all about faith healing? Do we only need to pray in a certain way or get a certain number of people praying for us or pray for a certain amount of time in order to be healed? How can we be healed of our illnesses, especially since we don't have Jesus nearby? Jairus reached out to Jesus. Although he was a leader in the synagogue, in doing so, he risked possible ridicule and criticism from others of the Hebrew faith. And not only did he reach out to Jesus, he humbled himself and pleaded for help for his daughter. And seeing Jesus, we are told he fell at his feet. He obviously believed in Jesus because he requested that he come and lay hands on his daughter so that she might be made well. You see, when it comes to issues of our health, there are many, many who procrastinate or fail to reach out and to ask for help. Requesting help often requires humility. We have to admit to ourselves that we are unable to help ourselves. Notice that Jairus not only reached out to Jesus, he humbled himself before him in the midst of a great crowd. He was a desperate father seeking help for his child and willing to do almost anything to seek Jesus' help. Friends, when we place our needs, any need, in public, we lose our privacy and our personal needs become public knowledge. Sometimes there are those who will take advantage of our weakness. But on the other hand, by sharing our personal dilemmas, we have more people praying for us and giving us their support. Although it was Jesus who ultimately healed the little girl, the story illustrates that a crowd was present, and we cannot underestimate the crowd's support. I do not believe they were just there out of curiosity's sake. Notice that by the time that Jesus reached the home of Jairus, the growing crowd had become a grieving crowd. When we are willing to humble ourselves, God responds. This is but another illustration of our need and our dependence upon God and upon each other. There is an old Chinese proverb about a woman whose only son had died. In her grief, she went to the holy man and asked, what prayers, what magical incantations do you have to bring my son back to life? Instead of sending her away or reasoning with her, the holy one said to her, fetch me a mustard seed from a home that has never known sorrow, and we will use that seed to drive out the sorrow in your life. The woman set off at once in search of that magical mustard seed. She came first to a splendid mansion, knocked at the door and said, I am looking for a home that has never known sorrow. Is this such a place? This is very important to me, she told the person. They told her, you've certainly come to the wrong place. And they began to describe all the tragedies that had recently befallen them. And then the woman then thought to herself, who is better able to help these unfortunate people than I, who have had misfortune of my own? She stayed. She stayed to comfort them, then went on in her search for a home that had never known sorrow. But wherever she turned, she found one story after another of sadness and misfortune. Ultimately, she became so involved in ministering to other people's needs and grief that she forgot about her own quest for the magical mustard seed, never realizing that it, in fact, had driven out the sorrow in her own life. Friends, when we are willing to humble ourselves, God responds. Faith, as Bob Tannehill describes it, is not a magic wand. It's not a source of power over God, a way of twisting God's arm. Nor is faith a form of brainwashing practiced upon ourselves, as it seems to be when we try to force ourselves to believe in spite of evidence or experience. Faith, he says, is real. Only if it is our response to a reality which allows us to believe. And this reality must be great enough and good enough to allow faith in spite of all we know about evil and suffering in this world. Friends, this reality can be experienced through our relationship with Christ and our relationships with one another. You see, Jairus' prestige, his religion, and wealth had fallen short. When the chips were down, he was no different than anyone else. Just because Jairus had come and made his request, it didn't happen on his timetable. In fact, there was a delay. While Jesus and the crowd were moving toward the home of Jairus, the unknown woman also reached out to Jesus. She believed that by touching the garment of Jesus that she would be healed. And somehow she was able to make her way through the crowd and touched his garments. Consequently, she was healed. And at the same time, Jesus felt the power being drained from him. Jesus was curious as to who had touched him, and the woman came forth, and just like Jairus, the woman fell down before Jesus. And Jesus then announced, the daughter, she named the woman, daughter. Daughter, your faith has made you well. This account illustrates that God does want us to have faith. Enough faith that we can be healed by a simple touch, that touch can come to us in many different ways. It also illustrates that God's healing power is not limited to people of means. The woman was an outcast, unclean. Even the powerless are included in the healing power of Jesus. And although Jesus was on his way to help Jairus' daughter, he stopped his journey. He allowed himself to be interrupted to interact with that woman. This reminds me of the times I've been in the emergency department waiting rooms when more severe cases are given a higher priority, therefore putting some of the minor injuries on hold. None of us like waiting on doctors, but we do. When it comes to issues of health, we find ourselves waiting on insurance companies, waiting on test results, waiting for a future appointment. And Jesus comes to us in that waiting. Healing happens, but it doesn't always happen instantly. And it doesn't always happen in the ways that we expect. Even a miraculous healing, as illustrated in the story, involved a journey. Jairus had to wait on the woman, and it took time for Jesus to come to his home. The woman had to make her way through the crowd. Ironically, she was healed without an appointment. Perhaps that healing can come to us even from within. Perhaps healing occurs when there is a change of heart. Perhaps healing occurs when there's a release of guilt or through an act of submission to God's grace or God's will for our lives. Perhaps healing can occur when we find out that we are loved and accepted for who we are. As child, as children, as a daughter, as a son of God. Friends, healing occurs when we open up ourselves to the reality of the ways in which Christ is present to us in the lives of others around us. The woman's need for healing happened within a larger context of the healing story of the little girl. In other words, a healing occurred while another healing was in process. She was hemorrhaging, and in the midst of the crowd, she came forth, and the little girl who appeared to be dying, but according to Jesus, was only sleeping, arose and came forth and walked. In both cases, Jairus and the woman, the daughter, reached out to Jesus, and each case resulted in a healing. God wants us, each one of us, to be well, to be whole. God wants us to have equal access to those things that bring us life. God wants us to reach out and believe in the power of healing. God wants us to humble ourselves and come to the realization that we can't manage our lives by ourselves. God wants us to be patient and know that healing is a process that will often include interruptions. God wants us to remember that God's healing power, God's love, is available to everyone, young or old, rich or poor, physically sick or spiritually in need, and that nothing can separate us from the healing power of God's love. Friends, these are the promises of God this day. Thanks be to God.